Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit. All right, well, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. Thank you to our sponsors, Grow Generation. Make sure you guys check them out in the link below. Oh, God, Manny, that is like a overnight change or something. I don't know what happened there, but welcome back, man. How you been?
Been good, man. Making some healthier choices this week, getting on a better sleep schedule. Trying to make my 30s feel good.
I hear that. It is actually probably the one thing I miss from like regular army time, like my time outside of the god awfulness that is United States Army Recruiting Command. Not saying don't join the military. By all means, it's awesome. Did me a lot of well, but recruiting itself is garbage. But I miss that. It sucks to wake up at 5:30 a.m. and then, you know, drive for 20-30 minutes, work out for an hour and a half, and then drive 20-30 minutes back home, shower, grab a waffle on your way out, and try to get back to the base gate before traffic gets too bad. But that routine thing, man, it's kind of important. And like, you guys, look, a lot of our audience has heard me. I'm pretty open, dude. I got a kid with special needs, and that sometimes throws, you know, wrenches and things. So hey, we're sorry about the last 2 days, but we're here. It's Friday, it's the end of the week. There's a Falcon and Winter Soldier episode that everyone wants to watch if they haven't already. But there's also some fun stuff that's been going on. But to your whole point about the gym and thing, man, are you like me where it's like, I don't want to do this, I don't. But if you can manage to force yourself to start, like, after you get going, it's so great. It's so, and when you're finished, you're like, thank God I did that, right?
No, actually, I want to do it. It was just a matter of fixing my sleep schedule and listening to my body a little bit more, especially in the evenings, because I can stay up and work on articles and video editing all night if I wanted to, which I was doing. And I've learned to pace myself a little bit better and to sleep a little bit earlier and to turn off the TV I won't linger. And because of that, I'm waking up about 5-ish. And that's when our gym opens here now, because gyms are open, which is great. But the feeling I get from the pre-workout, the workout, the metal music in my headphones blasting, it sets up for a great day, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, it's not even 7 a.m. and you've accomplished something already. And so it's a great feeling, and I'm glad to be back. It just, since yesterday was my first day back, like, I woke up this morning, I couldn't even, like, my upper body was just,
yeah. I have been starting physical therapy again and engaging muscles that I'm not as used to engaging anymore, and that kind of sucks, but it is what it is. My thing is always like cooking. I love it, but sometimes I just don't want to do it, and it makes me feel so good when I do it, though. Mm-hmm. It's just getting up and being like, all right, let's do this. Let's start it. And then by the time I've got my gorgeous Japanese steel knives out slicing through things, like, you know, they're all just butter with a hot knife. It's just like, okay, hey, I feel better. Movies do that a lot, as well. We had a really stressful night the other night and watched Big with Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Christine hadn't watched it in a while. I used to watch it fairly regularly. It'd be seen at least once every, you know, one or 2 years, right? I'm a big Tom Hanks fan. And she had never seen, like, the Money Pit. I had to show her that. Like, oh, my God. And A League of Their Own. She had never seen A League of Their Own. And she has a mom. My wife's born in the late 80s, which means she's got a mom born in the late 60s. And she didn't watch A League of Her. Well, okay, that's, you know, stereotype. But anyways, it's great getting into movies. And we got a really cool movie coming out in a week called Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. And I know you've gotten to talk to a lot of people about that project and seen it.
Yep.
Knowing that, and I know you're limited on what you could say until then, on a scale of, let's say, floor to end game, where should people's hype level be for Mortal Kombat, do you think? What's a good estimate of you should be hyped X amount? How?
It's funny because I just got an email yesterday from Warner Brothers saying, look, we know the movie's out internationally in some places, but you still can't talk about it domestically.
So you can't even talk about hype.
I'm just gonna give you like a, I'll just do a 1 out of 10 just because I don't know what's in between. There's so much in between.
Yeah, that was just a joke about the movies.
you know, I'm gonna say a healthy 7.
Okay.
And just because it's, if you really think about it, it's a very challenging film to make.
Yes.
Number one, it's a video game.
Yes.
And one of the things that we talked about is bringing characters to life that you are used to controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that alone makes it very different, because you're usually when you engage with those characters, you are the character. You're moving. You're functioning. You're doing something with the controller, and now you're just along for the ride. So it was bringing that video game feel. Mm-hmm. You also have the fact that a lot of the characters, their development's going to be through fighting and through movement, and how do you bring that to the big screen? And then their biggest challenge, I believe, is Mortal Kombat has a ton of characters. And so we'll pick and choose who's going to be in the movie. What role are they going to serve? Who's going to make it? Who's not going to make it? And so, I mean, there's just so many layers of why Mortal Kombat shouldn't work as a film, but they've taken a path I believe is going to make for a good franchise, not just a good film. So I'm at a healthy 7. And then if you honestly, I think if you don't like this movie, you're kind of a prick also, because it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And it, the opening scene, which that one I had been allowed to talk about, it's so beautiful. It's really well done, and it sets up the entire Sub-Zero Scorpion kind of dilemma that's been going on for decades, that rivalry that everybody loves. So I mean, and it's just done really, really well. I know that I've had some friends who've been trying to get me to reveal the identity of the new character. Who is he? Is he somebody's son? Is he a new character? Is he's related to this person? Ha! Just tell me already. And I was like, no, I can't do that, man. I can't. That's one thing I won't tell you. And then people want to know if Luke Cage is in it. I was like, I can't tell you that either.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's really fun. Just I think that's what surprised me the most, is I was like, all right, character development was pretty good in this movie, and I did not expect to get that. And then the new techno remix, or whatever you want to call it, of the original song really just mm-hmm. gets you hyped. And it's, I haven't added that to my gym playlist, but it's got to be in there. it's really really good.
You know, an absolute great workout album that's got amazingly great driving beats. I'm not talking like complicated, but just really good rhythmic workout style beats with a electronics slash poppy twist to it is Icy Stars and their End of the World Party album. Check that out. If you can't get some good cardio work done with that, I'm sorry, but you should be able to. That's one of my favorite workout albums. I'm pretty stoked about it because the first initial trailer did not, you know, impress me much at all. The stuff they first released with like the HBO Max look, you know, take a look at what we've got coming. Because video game movies are so hard to do right. It's something I've brought up time and time again. Like, you guys should do more video game series. That's more time to tell a story. Look at The Witcher, you know, season 2 on The Witcher just wrapped. For those of you that didn't know, you can find that story and others over at lrmonline.com. But it's such a hard thing to do because we've been burned so many times. And because I can't use OBS Studios for some reason, I'm going to try to do this stupid version of share screening and try to keep our the idea of the 20% or less of the screen. So hopefully, is this really tiny down here? Like just a small portion of the screen, Manny? Can you see? Yeah. Okay, good. Then this is something I wanted to talk about when it comes to video game movies, and that's the Resident Evil Infinite Darkness trailer. And I know you said you hadn't seen all of the, or you hadn't seen these, and you didn't, you know, quite know what to make of it. But there were two others, Degeneration and Damnation, and they're all CGI like this, usually involving Claire, Leon. I think Chris has been in one of them, Chris Redfield. And this is something I'm pretty excited about, the idea of another one of these, because not only the original films, but see, look at that. That's Resident Evil. It's claustrophobic. There's zombies. There's all sorts of things that we didn't quite get in that first movie, but you get them in these CGI films, which Capcom is, you know, involved with. The interesting thing about that one in particular is it's coming to Netflix, and the others were like direct to DVD. I think it came out before Netflix was as big as it is. What do you think about things like animation and the companies that make the source product being looked at more for video games? Look at Castlevania. Look at that and hearing, you know, a Resident Evil fan say, hey, these other ones are good. I look at that as like an untapped or barely tapped video game transition to screen. What do you think, man? It's even a feature length, you know?
It's an unused, I think, gem. Because they're the ones who come up with the great stories, right? For the video games. So they should also have the opportunity and the means to make their own content. And, you know, the cutscenes sometimes that we love so much in games, I know a lot of people just skip through them, but it's fun. And I think that they should have more say in their films, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but you know, who knows really what happens behind closed doors. A lot of times you'll get a writer or director for one of these films who thinks they know the product, and in fact, they don't necessarily know it much, or they do know it, but they think they know so much better, and they want to make creative differences that are supposed to translate well to the big screen, but then destroy the actual game itself. You know,
Mario Brothers, Double Dragon.
Yeah, so it's it'll be good. So this is a good it's a good way to see where we're at, and like you said, it looks like Resident Evil in it. And but because if Capcom's making it, it's almost like they're making the movie, like the cutscenes, but without the interaction in between, you know,
and
you know?
Some extra budget to go,
yeah,
to those, yeah. I highly suggest checking out Degeneration and Damnation. I found out that there was another one, but it's a bit more of a different movie, almost like a spinoff, if you will. I wasn't sold on it 100%. I haven't seen it. I just watched the trailer because I didn't know about it. It came out in 15. And, excuse me. I hadn't seen that one, but I read about it, looked at the trailer. This new one, though, the Infinite Darkness, is that looks golden. You know what I'm saying? Did you watch any of Castlevania on Netflix?
I watched some of it, but I wasn't really familiar with the entire property.
Right. But the quality of the animation, mm-hmm. the voice acting, mm-hmm. like it's such a. I watched a documentary, like a mini doc on YouTube, and I'm sorry, I'll try to remember, guys. I'll write it down here. Mini doc, YouTube on Toons. I'll try to link, because it's actually a really good like breakdown of animation today versus 10, 15. And like 50 years ago, right? And it's something that I've complained, and it focused mostly on Western arts, so North American cartoons. All right, it looked at, you know, what Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network offered in the 90s, where you had this wide range of styles from on Nickelodeon, the first three. The Doug, Ren and Stimpy, and Rugrats. Those are your first three original Nickelodeon cartoons that they went out and either bought to bring in. They weren't existing from the outside. And all three of those look very, very different, you know? They're all very low quality, but they all have their own unique styles. And then you look at, you know, what Matt Groening did with his Simpsons and his further creations, keeping that basic look of, you know, the human character between Simpsons, Futurama, and Disenchantment, or Disenchanted, whatever the fuck it's called. But now when you go on Cartoon Network, everything looks like Teen Titans Go. Everything looks like Craig of the Creek. Everything looks like Steven Universe, because they all look the same. There's various little things there. And Castlevania, Voltron, Legendary Defender. I'm sure when we finally see it, Masters of the Universe from Kevin Smith. All of Netflix is starting to take animation back, dude. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, they're buying properties from other companies, so I don't really think it's Netflix itself.
No, but they're still looking for different. They're not looking for what we've already got on Cartoon Network, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because Cartoon Network has their house style, and Warner Brothers has their house style of animation that they like to use, but. I think because Netflix is pulling from so many different places and not necessarily looking for a single theme, it just allows them to really explore and pick up anything else that's not owned by another streaming giant already. And so it gives you a different viewpoint, which is kind of the same thing they're doing with films and series. There's sometimes picking up things that weren't necessarily on anybody's radar, and then they become big hits. I know that Money Heist is one of them. They didn't even expect to continue to do that show, and then it went on for a couple more seasons, and now it's going to go into its final season. That's just an example. Voltron, you know, we've known there's only so many styles I think you can go with Voltron without it not working in animation. And Castlevania worked very well. I think it just it looks really good. So it is really different. I remember, for example, when Cartoon Network switched, or Warner Brothers, not Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers switched over Teen Titans to Teen Titans Go, and how upset everybody was at the animation. But it was just an evolution of what the kids were watching at the moment. And the kids who had watched the original Teen Titans had grown up a little bit. And now it was a new wave of little kids who were used to that style over at Cartoon Network. And so you had to change it to appease the audience. I know you and I have talked about it before, that a lot of sometimes that us as adults get really mad or offended at the way that some of our, yeah some of the way some of the animated characters that we grew up with have they changed over the years. But we have to remember also, like we've said, that kids change, and our times change, so the animation changes to fit that audience. We're not the target audience anymore,
right?
But yeah, and so because like Castlevania, Voltron, things like that, it has a little bit more, I don't want to call it more sophisticated, because it's just a different style. There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh yeah.
But it fits our target audience, because we want a lot more detail,
and right.
And especially even in the gore and things like that, the way machines come together. Mm-hmm. And so it fits the target audience.
And we'll always have anime for that. So I found it. This is not LRM sponsoring or backing this guy. This is the only video I've ever watched from this guy, but it's the Round Table. It's got a million subscribers. The real problem with modern cartoon art styles, and he goes through, mostly he's upset about this Ben 10 thing where they're bringing back a bunch of old Ben 10s, but they are all using the new Ben 10 cartoon art. Like, these are supposed to be like characters from the past shows, and he looks at things from Cartoon Network, from Disney, from Nickelodeon, from the Loud House, to like Green something in the City, and then goes back over like the era of the 90s when you were looking at everything. You know, like I said, across the board, from what Fox Kids was offering to what Nickelodeon was offering. And like you said, Warner Brothers, DC, they do have an art style. I can't stand it. I hate that pulpy 50s blocky, you know what I'm saying? It's not for me. It doesn't take away from the fact that it looks good. It's good production. It's all this stuff, and he points that out. Like, I'm a huge fan of Amazing World of Gumball. You ever watch any episodes of that?
There's a few. It's not.
Oh my god. Oh, have you? There's this one, and maybe this might change your mind to give it another chance. There's an episode where they go with Carrie. I think that's her name. The ghost character, right? Right. It's a Halloween party, and it's only for ghosts. And how do you become a ghost? You got to be dead, right? She gives them a potion. It's poison that if they take just enough, they'll be close enough to death that they could see the party. And in the middle of it, they decide they want to join the party. So the characters do an exit strategy with the potion to become ghosts. And I'm like, this is a kid's show. My son's just like 2.5 years old. And I'm like, they just want themselves to go to a party.
Yeah, I haven't.
Oh my God.
Obviously, I'm getting older, because a lot of those shows, the newer shows on Cartoon Network, I can't get behind.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's an insane show with they do an entire Final Fantasy episode. He gets sucked in, and it plays off of that anime trope of like MMOs being real, and you get sucked into the MMORPG, stuff like Infinite Dendrogram, or I think Sword Art Online or whatever. It makes fun of that. It's filled with pop culture references and some of the best societal commentary outside of maybe South Park. No joke. I love it. but I'm hoping, like you said, Netflix isn't making all this stuff in house. You know, they got their deals with Powerhouse doing did Castlevania, doing Masters of the Universe Revolutions or Revelations. So there are other arts out there. And again, even the guy in the video I pointed out, he doesn't take away from the modern, let's make more simple characters, really, really simple background characters, and like medium environments, so we can put things out faster, we can focus on other things. Like, we get it. I don't know, I kind of miss the variety of animation. And like I said, like, yeah, if I want something mature, I could go to anime, but then I'm still looking at anime every time, you know. And Netflix doing what they're doing is kind of like what you and I said about them before, you know. Now they got the Sony stuff, but we were wondering, you know, they're losing all their comfort items. What is Sony going to do? And you pointed out the foreign films they've been getting and foreign shows. And now animation, man. Netflix might not be down and out after all.
it would take a lot for Netflix to be down and out. They have way too much. They still have too much power. As far as that quote unquote war, you know, they're still on top, and it's still going to take a while for anybody else to reach their level of success. They've done it for so long, so they know the model, they know how to change with the times, and you know, I think they'll be fine, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. There's a story up, and I know you're a comic book fan. Actually, before we transition over there, let's go ahead and hear from our great sponsors over at Grow Generation. Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. Be sure to check out more about them in the link below. Manny, comic books. We missed out on our comic book Wednesday, so let's talk. One story I've actually kind of followed for a few weeks, actually, as far as I know, Ed Brubaker, just his stories. A fan?
Not I know who he is, and I know what he's responsible for. I haven't necessarily read too much.
Okay, so you didn't read things like Incognito or other non-Marvel books or anything?
Well, the problem is, especially with even with Marvel books, is that anything that's in the past, I'm so clogged up with current stuff that it's really time to go back. But I've done it with some titles. And I think the one thing I'm going to be working on in the next couple of months, if not years, because I don't have that kind of time with the TV and movies, is going to be X-Men. So that's where I'm going to be stuck for a while, and I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's not it is not the worst place to be stuck at. Yeah. And enjoy that, because his run on Uncanny was, I got to ask him a question about Uncanny 500, and I'm not gonna spoil anything, since you're reading that, and I was very happy with his answer. read a lot about him. What most of you may know if you visit the site, pay attention to the industry. For weeks, if not months, maybe more, Brubaker has expressed some disappointment in Marvel using so much of the Winter Soldier and not necessarily in the ways that he wrote them and this, that, and the other. And it's sparked a bit of a debate online about control of creations what's the word I'm looking for when you get there's a certain word of getting paid, compensation, long term, short term, all this stuff. Of course, being the internet, Manny, there's no context, there's no nuance. It's literally people that are either Disney shills or Ed Brubaker shills. And I kind of have to give it up to Cam. As much as a red-blooded commie as he is, he understands capitalism. I'm joking, Cam. he understands capitalism's purpose, incentive, blah blah blah. Here's the thing: in comics, you're brought on as an independent contractor when it's to write for someone else. Generally, right, Manny? You're contracted by DC, Marvel, whatever, for either an X amount of time or an X amount of books or or this specific project. And once that's done, they may reevaluate. Hey, yeah, we like what you did. Could you try that over at, you know, Miss Marvel we're bringing back the Savage Land, and we want you to do that. But it's essentially, all you're doing is playing in Marvel's sandbox. And at the end of the day, you get a handshake, some paychecks for what is in your contract. But after that, man, it's not yours.
Nope.
It sucks. I get it, dude. I feel for Ed because I like him. I've got one of his nameplates from Comic-Con. He gave it to a movie that he wrote with a stunt double that was in Death Proof, I think, and I can't remember the name. I'm sorry, guys. Angel of Death or something like that. Anyways, I got a name, so I'm a fan. But even I'm like, dude, the contracts are what they are. Does it suck? Especially when you see that certain, you know, he brings up certain story points that are near and dear to him that Marvel glosses over in the movies and shows. It seems like you're pretty much like me and Cam. It's like, yeah, dude, it sucks, but them's the rules.
Yep.
So that being said, I personally don't necessarily see a reason to change the rules. Definitely, and with no legislation, for the love of God, just let companies do company. But we can even look at something near and dear to my heart, the Star Wars EU. Their Lucasfilm is going to release these 50th anniversary special EU books with new covers for several stories, and we all know why they chose new covers. So they didn't have to pay the old guys. And it's easier to bring in some newer person and be like, hey, you want your first Star Wars art job? You know? What do you think, man? I don't see necessarily a need for any real changes, because I can look at Image, and then I can look at Bad Idea, and then I can look at independent, you know, film studios and be like, do that.
Yeah, just look at how well it's going for Kirkman. You know, he took his characters over to Image. The Walking Dead. Invincible, yep. Sky, everything he's doing with through his label Skybound, he owns it all. Do whatever he wants with it. when you join a corporate publishing company, kind of like DC or Marvel, who are owned by bigger wigs, and it just keeps going up and up and up. You don't own anything; you just work there, and that's the sad truth. And I think the word Watchmen came into my mouth because of the fact that just look at what's going on with Alan Moore's characters.
Oh.
He just wanted it to just be that Watchmen story.
Yeah.
Now they have expanded it. They've added the characters.
Comics. They're in the universe. DC. I mean, yeah.
And you have an HBO series, which, by the way, was fantastic.
Yep.
But the author, absolutely no say in what happens there.
No.
Because if it was up to him, it'd be done. And so. But he doesn't own it. So
yeah.
Whatever, right? And that's it. Look, if you don't like it, then don't. Yeah, I do feel for it. Because I mean, I think it's the same deal with like Bendis and Miles Morales and stuff like mm-hmm. that, where you made probably the most popular Spider-Man at this time. But you know, all you get is the thumbs up and the invitation to the screenings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you don't. There's no royalties in it because it's Marvel's characters. It's not yours. And if you like, it's kind of like you said. If you don't like it, then don't make characters for them.
Yeah.
But I do wish, as big as these companies are, they would do something for them.
Exactly.
I not just a credit at the end of an episode or at the end of a feature film. I do wish that, because some of these creators getting up in higher in age, and I find it kind of sad sometimes when I see a big name who is going through there's like hero initiatives and things like that to help artists or writers with sometimes medical expenses and things like that, when you have a studio or somebody who has already exploited their characters and the stories but don't really care about the person. That's just at a human level. At a business level, sorry, man.
Yeah.
But and you can't come back and ask for something different because that wasn't the agreement. And that would just be wrong.
Yeah.
Also, you know? And then asking for somebody else to get involved, a bigger entity like the government, that would be even worse.
Yes.
You know? That's a whole other box of problems that we would open up. I hate to sound, as I'm saying, it's like, ew, you sound like the dirty corporate
shill.
Yeah. I'm not that guy. I'm just the guy who understands
things
a little bit. And by the way, I've seen the first episode of Cap, the Winter Soldier and whatever it's called. And I haven't watched an episode since.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say that I love the MCU overall. I've had issues with several movies, story choices, retcons, both retcons from the comics and retcons from in the MCU. The fucking Flurkin taking Fury's eye, stupid. That Feige dude, really? Please tell me they did that while you were like out with the flu or something. And then getting Avenger from Carol's plane, I didn't care for either, but whatever. I do like most of what they do. And for me, I was a big fan of Brubaker's run on Cap and the whole aftermath of Agent 13 killing him, not in Falcon Winter Soldier. I don't know. I haven't seen today's episode, and I don't know tomorrow or next week's. But in the comics, you know, she kills him, and I loved it when Punisher was running around as as Captain America, and they're like, we can't have Captain America out there killing people like this.
No, you can't.
Fury was mad. Anyways, when they reveal Bucky, and he's got the older fashioned shield, he's got his gun, he's got the cool armored suit. It was fun, but I'm not upset at what I'm getting either. Like, I look at it as a pun, I guess, not really pun, but you know, I look at it as a multiverse. I've got my comics, I've got my old 90s cartoon Spider-Man and X-Men, and I've got the MCU. And the great thing is just like the what are we at now for Marvel, 80 years of Marvel, close to in 80 years, how many entire arcs have you ignored because the first couple issues were bad, or you heard enough bad stuff about it? You know, don't watch it. Don't read it. Just carry on. Yeah, it's if you, everyone wants to write Superman, Spider-Man. Everyone wants to write Star Wars or Star Trek. But remember, if you write those, you don't own it. Just a thought on that.
You don't even own the original artwork you make for them.
Nope, not the artists, not the writers.
Funny story is Legends Comics in here in Fresno, California, when a Detective 1000 came out, mm-hmm. they had an artist do a cover for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to submit it, obviously, for approval and everything. They've done it time and time again. DC liked it so much, they took it for one of their own covers and said, too bad.
Mm. Must have been something the terms and agreements in the submission form that said you gave up rights when you submitted.
Well, no, it's Batman. It's their character. So.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's funny because I asked, I'm friends with the owners there. I asked them, I was like, what happened? Usually you guys have your own variant cover, because they had one for Action, and they have some for Power Ranger all the time. And then he goes, yeah, DC decided they wanted to make it one of their own variants. So they said they were going to use it for that. And then he points to the back, and there's the original artwork on the wall. because he had made it, because the artist had made it for them.
Yeah.
But because DC, it's DC's property. It's anything you do as far as artwork, also, it's also DC's property. Sure, you can sell the pages if you'd like, but it's technically not yours. It's really, really, it's really interesting. But it's just the way it is, man.
Fan art is an interesting thing, because you guys could clearly see I've got these posters from the Displate or some shit, and they're all like, you know, prints from fan art. Somebody's making money, you know.
Yeah, those it's funny because those can get shut down at any time because they're not licensed. And what's funny about it is that, well, not funny, it's actually really sad. There's just random times sometimes where Disney, Warner Brothers will just randomly shut people down.
Yep.
And it happens. You see the articles come up about, you know, sometimes they at shows they just, you know, shut people. But then also there's also the problem that sometimes these fan artists are using art from actual creators that are at the same show.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those people definitely need to get shut down, because at least give them the opportunity to make money off of what they made, and not somebody else two aisles down who just made a copy.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a weird thing when you take somebody else's thing, draw it yourself, you know, change it up. It's kind of like even us on the website, you know, we've got all these rules for thumbnails, and and images that we can use, and there's rules on how much have you changed the original. Are you commercializing this? And for us, a thumbnail isn't in and of itself commercialized, but the site is. So it's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's like, fuck it, I'm just using a screenshot from the movie. Because I don't want to deal with some of the overkill, and some of it is great because it's supposed to protect artists, but then you can see when it's abused and it's used to, you know, hurt artists. Yeah. So it's an interesting situation, but I guess that'll wrap it up for us today, man. I'm upset that Black Widow moved, because now I gotta wait until June for Loki for more Marvel. But I am looking forward to Mortal Kombat next week, just to see, can they do it better than before. So I'm excited about that. And then, yeah, guys, I wholly support you seeking out your dreams. There's a dozen for every horror story I've heard about both companies from big names that have literally been like, I hate the bat, or I hate the fucking spider. Like, but you hear bad things from both, from writers and artists. And I'm sorry, I've been saying writers all day long, artists as well. But for all of those, you also run into like your what is it, Mark Wade's, and your Brian Bendis's, and guys that, you know, while careers may change and stuff, they speak more highly of experiences and things. And I suggest you guys just study the rules and your contracts and understand what you're getting into. And while drawing Spider-Man or Superman may be a wonderful dream, you might have a much better idea in your head, and you might want to make sure you can save that to use for something you can own, you know? So look at Jeff Lemire and his Black Hammer empire. That's all his.
Gideon Falls also?
Yep. So, with that, guys, thank you for bearing with us on this shorter week. What else do we have? I'm going to get you guys the episode 8, at least part 1 of the nearly 4-hour debate between Jammer and Cam on The Last Jedi, with poor me stuck in the middle trying to mediate. We've got Anime Versal reviews. No Dr. Stone this week, but there's enough anime news. Brian and I are going to get you guys caught up to date on some cool stuff on Saturday. And of course the Cantina later on today, guys. Check that out. Star Wars news, got some fun stuff to talk about. Check out the website, lrmonline.com. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel, and subscribe to the podcast channel. Manny, say stuff.
First of all, it's April 16th, which means I got to give a shout out to my mom because it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Manny's mom.
Because of you, I am on this podcast talking to Kyle 32 years later. And then also next week, we have a plethora of interviews because of the fact that Mortal Kombat will be coming out. So I'll be dropping a couple of those. I will also be dropping interviews with the cast and creators of independent films from Saban Films production, such as Wildcat, also The Night of the Sicario, and then also a very interesting feature film called The Marijuana Conspiracy, which looks into an experiment they did on 20 women in the 70s on the effects of marijuana on women, where they were pretty much imprisoned voluntarily for 98 days, and all they did was smoke pot. And afterwards, the results were not what they wanted, so they buried it.
Yeah.
So I actually talked to one of the people who went through that experiment, as well as cast members who play the role of the women. So lots of really good stuff. Gig and Nancy have their own treasure trove of interviews coming up next week, and we just drop them as we go.
There you guys go. Make sure to check out Manny at LRM_Emmanuel. Riddle me this _510 on Instagram. I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. We'll talk to you on Monday.